Welcome one and all to another day here at the Damage Report. I'm John Derulo. Joining us once again, thank God, Francesca Fiorentini. How's it going?
Criminal trial for Donald J. Trump. Criminal trial for Donald J. Trump.
It's here. Gotta send him to jail for the hush money payments. Stormy Daniels. There's something there.
Hi. Happy Monday.
How's it going? There's a lot going on in the news, a lot going on everywhere. How are you doing? How are you holding together?
I'm okay. Everything's fine and normal. I think we've averted World War III, maybe. I'm not sure.
See, you say that. But I've got, so there's like a couple of like live trackers of the New York Times right now. And I'm like, okay, even though I'm like literally doing a show live, I have to see if any big update happens. And then also there's one that just says Middle East crisis. And I'm like, that could just be nuke launched at any time. Burying the lead there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, both of those could go nuclear at any time. So we're gonna jump into the trial and we're gonna catch up a little bit on many of the machinations. And we will be talking about Iran and about Israel for our members. That's gonna be our bonus content for this week. We're gonna be responding to what happened over the weekend, what we think could happen coming out of that. And that will be going out later on today to the members. The show has so much on it. Legal stuff, money stuff, awful stuff, more awful stuff, and possibly more consequences for George Santos. I thought he was gone. They're still targeting him in the House. And so when can he finally just have peace? We're gonna try to figure that out. And we have tried, it is difficult, but we have tried and we have found a couple of fun things to discuss along the way. So lots to get to, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. Hit the like button if you haven't already. If you want a chance at the Blue Apron gift card, send in your comments, your tweets, your super chats, and all of that. Oh, if you're not already a subscriber to the channel, we are desperately trying to get to 1 million subscribers by election day. We passed 900,000. We're about almost 905,000. So we're making good progress towards that 1 million, but you can be a part of the solution. And I know what you're thinking. I've already subscribed. What more can I do? Share videos. You know, and maybe people will watch them and maybe they'll like it. Maybe they'll want to be a subscriber. Really, there's nothing more that you can do besides that. But
I was just gonna say create fake shadow accounts.
No.
Okay. I was going in a different
I want real subscribers. Okay. So there you go. Anyway.
By hook or by crook, I mean.
By hook or by crook or by whatever. But anyway, okay, with all that said, are you ready to do this thing?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's do it. Let's jump in this. For the first time in American history, a former president is in court. In criminal court, facing a whole bunch of charges, 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. This is the hush money trial, which, as we have laid out over recent weeks, is about more than just that. But the developments are already flooding in. We're on the first day of this thing. We've got weeks to go and a lot is already happening. So first of all, and almost instantaneously, the judge picked up Donald Trump's motion to remove him from the case that he would have to recuse because he's biased or whatever. And he rejected that. He didn't even really provide that much of an argument. He just said that they didn't provide much of an argument for why he should recuse. So he will not. So the judge is staying. No real shocker there, but a lot of other things going on. Some of it good for Trump, some of it bad for Trump. So first of all, we expect, and this will probably be happening while we're live here, they're really pushing on consequences for Donald Trump, possibly fines for the witness intimidation that he's been engaged in over the past few days, attacking both Michael Cohen as well as Stormy Daniels. That's a violation of the gag order. And we know that Trump knows that because he can't go a day without posting about how he's gagged. So he knows that he's gagged and he's violating that gag order. So perhaps there will be consequences for that. On Saturday, by the way, he called Michael Cohen a disgraced attorney and felon, which is definitely attacking a witness. You can't do that in this case. And Stormy Daniels was attacked as well. But that said, before we get into the discussion, I do want to give you, because you're probably, if you're on Truth Social, you probably think this judge is totally biased against Trump. Well, not necessarily. Because the judge also ruled that he's denying the prosecutor's request to introduce other sexual assault allegations against Trump, calling them, quote, complete rumors, complete gossip, completely hearsay. I don't think that that is necessarily a fair way to describe all of these many accusations, to say that they're complete hearsay. But regardless, it's not going to be a part of the trial. So the prosecutors are mad about that, because being able to describe the many allegations that were coming against him was part of what seemed like the prosecutor's strategy to show that Trump was worried about losing votes over this, that there had already been stuff like this in the news and he wouldn't necessarily want more of it out there, which sort of gets to the motivation of doing the hush money payments and then hiding the payments. So this goes beyond just now there won't be this evidence. It hurts the case of the prosecutors in trying to describe why it is that Donald Trump might have done what he's alleged to have done. And I want to throw out one other good development, I guess, for Donald Trump. So the judge said that jurors can be told about Trump's past affair with a Playboy model. I think it's a reference to Karen McDougal, but not that Donald Trump's wife was pregnant at the time of the allegation.
Okay.
That detail, he said, was prejudicial, although he said it was possible his thinking on that could change as other evidence is introduced. They said that this would poison the jury against the defendant. The things Trump did and when he did them would poison a jury against him, so they can't hear it? Okay, that seems weird to me. I feel like if this is a thing that happened and there's good evidence of it, they should know about it. But this is another thing where, again, things are kind of being slanted in Donald Trump's favor. Francesca, what do you think?
I mean, I'm just reminded of the ways that when an unarmed black teenager is murdered by police, how we're supposed to focus on their grades and whether or not they shoplifted candy at any point. Like, I mean, this is the level, right? Thinking about Michael Brown and things like that, or anyone who's been killed at the hands of police, we go into their character, we talk, prosecutors bring up everything about them. And yet this is a detail of Trump's life, his history of affairs, his history of, I mean, it's not gossip. It is provable and was found guilty in court of sexual abuse against E. Jean Carroll. So yeah, you're absolutely right. This judge seems pretty damn lenient. The only thing that I will say in the judge's favor, and maybe if it clarifies things for the jury, is that this trial isn't really about whether you have affairs or whether your wife was pregnant at the time that you had the affair. It is about the machinations, the money behind when you tried to pay off this person to keep them quiet about that affair. And that was campaign finance, fraud. That's exactly what that is. That's the crime there. The crime isn't cheating on your wife with a porn star, right? A wonderful, very talented. I'm sorry. I just want to say, like, Stormy Daniels is much more than a porn star. Like, let's put that out there.
Okay. Well,
and it's hard to be a porn star. Wait. Also hard to be a porn star. Thank you. You can continue.
Yes, exactly. And let that be entered into evidence. In any event, I'm going to throw out just one little twist potentially, because look, in terms of characterizing Donald Trump not being able to tell the jury, who I'm gonna guess knows that she was pregnant at the time anyway, would seem to help Trump. But is it possible that this actually hurts Trump legally for a reason which I will now describe, which is there are a couple of potential explanations as to why Donald Trump did what he's alleged to have done if he did the hush money payments, okay? There is to influence the election, okay, because he's worried about losing votes. I will refer to that theory as the actual one. That's really what he did. But then there's another, which you could make the case for, which is it's not about affecting the election. It's about making it so that Melania doesn't find out. Now, it could be if the jury knew about the pregnancy, then that makes it even worse. And thus you'd be more motivated to do it just so she didn't find out. But they're not going to find that out. So maybe this undercuts a potential alternative explanation as to why he did the hush money payments in the first place.
Right.
And why he went to such extrajudicial lengths to hide them. But now that's gone. That's not a part of the trial. And will he potentially come to rue that decision? I don't know. We'll find out. I will also say, and we're going to continue on, but there's live stuff coming in, which is Trump could potentially be fined for the gag order violations, $1,000 per post, which seems like nothing. I don't. What's even the point of that? We'll find that out a little bit later on today. And then there's an amazing detail about Donald Trump that we'll get to in just one sec. But I want to give you a couple of the other updates, because again, there are many. So this one works against Donald Trump. And that is that Lawyers for the former, basically they wanted to change the questionnaire that's going to be asked of prospective jurors, of which there are apparently 500. So this could take a while. Lawyers for Trump had argued against asking jurors whether they'd ever worked or volunteered for Trump's campaign or affiliated groups. Yeah, if I was a lawyer for Trump, I also wouldn't want that to be one of the questions. But obviously that needs to be one of the questions. If you volunteered for Donald Trump, the idea that you could be a juror on this seems like madness.
Wild.
But it's the exact sort of madness that he wants. And in terms of how Trump is taking all of these updates or whatever, I don't think we have this as a graphic, but at one point on the live like news tracker on the New York Times, Maggie Haberman had noted, Trump appears to be sleeping. His head keeps drooping down and his mouth goes slack, which is kind of how he looks when he's awake in his defense, but also not a great look for the guy who wants to run against a guy he's calling Sleepy Joe. But anyway, he eventually did wake up and that's good. Also, Trump is apparently going to be allowed to be present for the proceedings. It seems like even the potential jury stuff. But if he acts out, if he tries to bias the jurors, he could get in trouble. And that potentially includes being sent to jail. I have a feeling that will not happen regardless of what he does. But the guy who's like falling asleep could, we know he's had outbursts in the past in the E. Jean Carroll trial. So it's not impossible that he could do that again, Francesca.
Yeah, there were a lot of, I think, fists slamming, a lot of like fooies, I think was the proper term that he used, something like that. There was like fooies and uggas, I can't remember exactly. I love that he's falling asleep. That's just very on brand for an elderly fascist. I do think that having the jury there will pep him up. He loves an audience.
Yeah.
You know, I'm reminded, like, I feel like Johnny Depp during his Amber Heard trial was like playing to the jury. He was like, you want me to do a little Jack Sparrow swagger? I think we're gonna see that. But Johnny Depp was more like, let me wear like cool colored, you know, Armani glasses. And Trump's just like, let me look like an orange that you left in the sun in your car for a really long time.
On mercury. Yeah, 100%. So anyway, we're going to be live tracking the developments. And if anything big comes, we will let you know. But I want to rewind a little bit, okay? We'll let the jury selection process continue. Let's go back to how Trump greeted the day, because it is a historic day. I know that we're joking around and we're being sarcastic and all that. But the president is in trial facing criminal charges. That has never happened before. That should have happened before. There were many opportunities theoretically, but this is the first and that's big. So let's check in with Trump as he gets ready to go into the court earlier today.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
He seems very honored. I bet he's very happy that this whole thing is going on. So honored, love to be here. This isn't causing a ton of awkward conversations at home. So he's very honored because of course Biden is very involved, except that he's not. Biden has nothing to do with any of this at all in any way. And isn't it weird how America is failing to the extent that Donald Trump is facing issues? America's doing well when he's not on trial. As soon as he's facing personal struggles, America is failing. It's weird. It's almost like it's a cult of personality. Almost.
It's like if Trump doesn't have his morning poo, you know, he's just like, America's very, there's just the supply chain lines. It's very backed up. Today, America's failing. This morning is a failure for America. You're like, you mean your bowels? Like, it's truly like, it is so sick how they are just linked to like how well he is doing, as if any of his followers are going to see a dime of the money that he's made and is making off the presidency, his presidential run. This whole case is undershadowed. I know we'll get there, but by Michael Cohen and the fact that he was already sentenced and served time for carrying out these crimes. I mean, this is at a time we're being told that Joe Biden runs a crime ring. Donald Trump had a dude that he was straight up called like a fixer. His fixer, yeah, he's an attorney. There's his fixer, like charged with hiding this money through, I guess, 34 different financial crimes and ways that he wasn't supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. Imagine if Biden had a fixer. Like, again, there's just there's all this mob stuff that Trump just gets for free. We don't even dock him for it.
He gets someone to fix his little like acai bowl. Like, you know, like, I feel like that's the fixing that happens. It's just
I don't know if he's... I think he's more of a grape nuts man. But anyway, sure. So that's, look, Donald Trump, that video, he's saying pretty much what he always says. And some of his social media activity in anticipation of the case is what you'd expect it to be. But some of it, I would make the case, is weird even for Trump. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. I'm going to let you evaluate that. But first, I love the beginning of this post. Just 4 years ago, I was a very popular and successful president of the United States, getting more votes than any sitting president in history. Well, I mean, Joe Biden is now a sitting president. He got more votes than you. So I love the caveat, which I guess Biden wasn't sitting at that point. It's such a weird participation trophy. Tomorrow morning, I'll be in criminal court and blah, 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 blah. He lies about his level of support, going on to say, when I walk into that courtroom, I know I will have the love of 200 million Americans behind me, and I will be fighting for the freedom of 325 million Americans. I don't think nearly that many Americans do hush money payments. I don't think so. Also, 200 million Americans, first of all, if you had more than half the country behind you, wouldn't you ever win the popular vote even once? Mm-hmm. Also, no, not 200. Half of all Americans don't give a damn about any of this stuff that's going on. It's unfortunate, but it's largely true. And of those who do, the majority don't like you. That's the way it goes. That's why elections have gone the way they have. But I want to move on to the weird stuff, because I did say that he's doing stuff that stands out even for him. And here's an example of it. He posted a poll. Now, I know what you're thinking. He posts polls all the time. Yes, and very often they're BS polls. But at least they're polls that came out recently. He posted this, a nice poll from the past. It's a more than 2 month old poll of him leading Nikki Haley in South Carolina. Nikki Haley dropped out of the race like 5 weeks ago. That election is way in the past. That's not even about Joe Biden. That's not even like a, hey, I was doing really well against the guy I'm running against. He's like hearkening back to like the oldies. What is the purpose of putting that out? It's not even the only one. He posted another one about how in the New Hampshire presidential primary, he'd gotten more votes than Bernie Sanders. That was months and months ago. He's on the plane to his criminal trial, and he's posting old polls and information about elections that are already over. Is that not strange? I honestly don't even understand what the goal here is, but maybe you understand.
You know when you bookmark something and then you forget to tweet it out or you bleed it. So he's like bookmarked it and then he's like, oh, or he just finally, a lot of these are tweets. So he finally checked his Twitter, like I leave my TikTok kind of just like, ugh. And then I go back and check, especially Blue Sky. I'm like, I don't even know what's going on Blue Sky. Then I go and I'm like, oh, hey, and then I'll retweet that. So that could be what's happening here. No, he's just trying to build himself up. He's trying to be like, I'm good. Remember how I'm, yeah, you are the front runner. You clinched the primary, you're the nominee. Mm-hmm. Look forward, not backward. It's like, I don't know what we're doing here. But yes, it's all about like, don't pay attention over there to this criminal trial. Pay attention to these old polls.
It would be like if I'm trying to think of what an equivalent would be for me or you to do. I honestly don't even know.
It's You'd be like, so remember how strange. We surpassed, you know, a billion views. Remember you did that at some point?
I guess.
You just remind people months later?
It just seems very strange to focus on it so late. Like it, and I get it, it's building himself up, but like there has to be something going on right now. You've got to be beating Biden in some polls right now. I'm sure that you are. So just post those. But anyway, that's what he's doing for fun. But I don't care about that. I care about us having fun. I care about you having fun, okay? And there's going to be a lot of complex legal stuff. And so I want to give you some just easy schadenfreude. So I've got that. Apollo Racer says, remember when you won the Webby? Yeah, imagine if I just tweeted, hey, remember when I won that Webby? But at least that doesn't feel as weird to me as this, because this is about something that's now irrelevant. The South Carolina primary doesn't matter. It's not like, remember when I won in 2016, the election? That's still relevant. This isn't. Anyway, we're moving on, okay? I want to have some fun, so I'm going to have it at Trump's domestic expense. Let's go into this.
Trump says he wants to testify, and you've said that Melania would push him to take the stand. Do you think she's playing a role in his decision? Would she be an advisor in this situation?
You know, I think behind closed doors, as a husband and wife, she would probably say, look, if you have nothing to hide, take the stand type of a thing.
And she might for that reason, but of course there are considerations beyond just whether he has something to hide. There are real consequences in this case to him potentially testifying. And let's go into a little bit more of that.
And you know, but I know this is just his bluster. And as your reporter said earlier, he has said this so many times that he's going to take the stand. And then he's going to come out and say, oh, my lawyers told me I couldn't, so I couldn't go out and do it, which is so funny because he doesn't listen to anyone. He doesn't listen to his lawyers. He doesn't listen to anyone. So it will be his choice, absolutely. But I think he knows if he takes the stand that will cause him a lot of trouble.
And I think that is probably the case. And that is why, although this is one of the least objectively important consequences coming out of the hush money trial, which we're now into, it wasn't delayed, it's going forward. Trump has to worry about how his base is going to interpret this. He's going to have to worry about how independents are going to interpret this, how it might affect the outcomes of different states in a different way. With abortion being such an important topic in this election, how is that potentially going to play in this? The fact that he's very worried about what women think about him. But at the same time, behind all of that, there is the one woman. And how this is going to potentially affect that relationship for right now. And so we have a little bit of a preview coming from Stephanie Grisham about how this has worked for him in the past. Listen to this.
You were there. You were around when all of the Stormy Daniels allegations, the fallout, the furor about it all. What was that like inside the White House? I mean, what was the behavior of everybody? How concerned were they about this?
Oh, everybody was extremely concerned. You know, internally, people were in the West Wing were nervous of what us in the East Wing would be doing. Melania often came out with statements that, you know, were not what the West Wing would want us to say about various different things. And so I recall one time former president calling me from Air Force One to basically see how angry she was and to see if we were putting any statements out, because you know we never checked with the West Wing if we were going to say anything. So he definitely was worried. The West Wing was constantly checking in with me, what's going on. You know, I never shared with them, you know, her thoughts on it, because that was kind of personal, private conversations between the two of us. When I said we're not going to the State of the Union or she'll just meet him on Air Force One, I just stopped there. And I think they all knew in the West Wing not to push further or not to ask her to do any more than that.
And I think that that's amazing. You know, bear in mind that she was an aide, she was with Melania at the time, like setting aside the political stuff, setting aside even my like hatred for Donald Trump. It's like a very humanizing and weird thing. He calls up, not her, other people. How mad is she when the details were first released? How angry is she? And look, they're allegations. So we're supposed to pretend that it didn't happen, even though, you know, it clearly did. He's just wondering how much trouble he's in. And now, you know, he's before the cameras right now and he's saying that he's super honored to be there. He's honored that this is a thing that he's still fighting over, whatever. And I wonder if he's thinking about that. How angry is she right now? There's so many levels of all of this brewing at the same time, Francesca. And just on a human level, I find it fascinating. What do you think?
I mean, I think she probably wants him to testify because she doesn't want to be back in the East Wing of the White House or wherever she is. Like, she doesn't want him to be president again. I don't think she wanted to be president and be first lady in the first place. I mean, she doesn't even like Christmas. Who cares? But like, she's like, yeah, go hang yourself. Go hang yourself with all your word salad. Get tripped up when the prosecution shows you a photo of your ex-wife and you have to be like, yep, that is that her? Or is that E. Jean Carroll? Like, it's so easy to trip this guy up. He obviously, he incriminates himself in every single breath. And I mean, I really don't care about their relationship, except you know it's toxic and awful. And probably, yeah, I mean, more than golden handcuffs, just like just a golden shower of lies, all the lies. And it is incredibly embarrassing to have to be the woman by his side. Look, we're in a country, I'm old enough to remember, and I don't even say that sort of like in that phraseology or whatever. I just remember how people treated Hillary Clinton when she stayed with Bill Clinton after we found out about his relationship with Monica Lewinsky, right? Scandal, how could she, all this and that. All that's gone. All that is completely gone, right? And first of all, who cares? Like, I do think that this is not about whether or not he slept with her, but it should matter to his so-called evangelical, moral, you know, traditional family values BS crowd. But it doesn't. Exactly. And it's like, if this were a Democrat, they would be hounding Melania. How are you still with this man? He cheated on while you were pregnant. They drag her through the mud. And this is the extent that, you know, MSNBC or liberals, we are the extent, like we're not dragging her. Do you know what I'm saying? No, like, it is just so wild. Yeah.
Thank God.
Of course.
And maybe that's the small amount of like empathy that comes from the evolution of decades of media. Maybe it is just the fact that it's a Republican in this case. Maybe it would be the same if it was a Democrat. And like, and I try to, obviously, we center empathy and compassion in our sort of values web. That's it. Like, I bear in mind at the same time, you know, she has stood up for him. I'm not talking about the relationship stuff. I'm talking about like horrendous policies and stances he's taken, the race and all that. So, you know, if you want to have a personal problem with Melania, I think that she has provided you a lot of political reasons to do that. In terms of the relationship stuff, relationships are complicated. She could genuinely believe that he didn't do it. It's a whole complex situation. There's kids and everything. So I don't judge for that. And honestly, and I know that this is weird and I shouldn't have this feeling, but like, I just think about like, if it's announced, the judge bangs the gavel, he's going to prison for this. I just imagine the weight coming off of her shoulders. Oh my God, is she gonna sleep good that night?
She's gonna be a Disney princess waking up.
For better or worse, because you know, she believes some bad things. Like, I'm not like, there's this weird thing where people like imagine that she's like imprisoned by him or something. No, she's a fully functioning human who's willingly involved in all this. But again, just on a purely a non-political level, the weight coming off. If there could be a camera on her face when it's announced, and it probably won't be announced, he'll probably find a way to wiggle out of consequences and all that. But if it does, that is going to be something. I hope it's not going to be Stephanie Grisham in the room with her at that point, but I hope that whoever is eventually writes a book, because that's going to be fascinating. Final point.
I think this case, final point is just, I think this case is really fascinating on a million different levels, because it exactly points to the hypocrisy of Republicans in this time when it comes to, again, their family values, and it comes to, again, like traditional masculinity and femininity and blah, blah, blah. And which is, women, you shut up. Pregnant women, you shut up. Who cares what your alpha male does, right? Even though we hate sex workers and we should, they're all trying to like, you know, even adjacent sex workers are somehow trying to groom our kids. Now they're grooming your president, bro. Like, that's exactly what happened. And then on top of that, we have to remember that this case was the very first thing that sort of came down on Donald Trump when he assumed his presidency, and it coincided with the Me Too movement. Donald Trump lured Stormy Daniels to his hotel room with the promise of a potential job. Hey, let's work together. Let's do something. Now, of course, I know what you're thinking. If you're Stormy Daniels, you see a creep like Donald Trump, do not go to his hotel room. But this is the Harvey Weinstein thing. This is the thing that creates this 100% cascade of the Me Too movement, and this was kind of that first little snowball in the avalanche, I think, of what truly changed our culture, which was the Me Too movement.
Yeah, you're totally right. So we talked about the aspect of the job thing, but not in you did a far better job of linking it to, that's what the social movement fundamentally was about, was using the control you have over opportunities, financial opportunities, business opportunities. You're 100% right. I'm going to conclude with this, because I just figured out how this thing should play out.
Yeah, please.
I'm not a PR person, but Melania, you should hire me, because I have great ideas. I'm going to give you one right now. It's announced in court, he's going to prison for 16 years or whatever. Remember, up to 4 years in prison for each of the counts is 34. Nothing like that is gonna happen, but hypothetically it could. She releases, not a statement, not a speech, nothing like that. She doesn't go on Fox News. It's just an Instagram image. And it's like she does. It's gonna be a shot of her from behind, standing on like a balcony, looking out of a window. She loves doing stuff like that, sort of like metaphoric imagery. And there's no caption. It's just her on the balcony, looking out. And she's wearing the "I really don't care, do you" jacket. That's the whole thing. I just wanna see that on Instagram. It would be so awesome. But anyway, we need to take a break. Lots more to come after this. We're getting into dangerous territory in the social break, okay? Let's try to protect ourselves and maintain the existence of the show as we launch into this.
We're getting along very well with the speaker, and I get along very well with Marjorie. We have a speaker, he was voted in, and it was a complicated process, and I think it's not an easy situation for any speaker. I think he's doing a very good job. He's doing about as good as you're going to do, and I'm sure that Marjorie understands that. She's a very good friend of mine, and I know she has a lot of respect for the speaker.
Really? Not the impression that I've gotten over the past few weeks, but look, that's what Mike Johnson went to Mar-a-Lago for. Those quotes from Donald Trump, giving him credit for the job that he's done, pretending that Marjorie Greene doesn't hate Mike Johnson's guts. That's what he came to kiss the ring for. And I guess he got it. The stuff Trump said is ridiculous. Marjorie Greene has no respect for literally anyone, let alone Mike Johnson, but that's what he wanted. And interestingly, and maybe because of these developments, Mike Johnson is speaking more openly about Greene than he has in the past. Take a look.
Did you speak with President Trump privately about what Marjorie Taylor Greene is doing?
I spent hours with the president on Friday. He and I talk frequently, many times, usually in a week. We have a long relationship. He's 100% with me, and he said, we'll get this job done. That's a distraction. What Marjorie's done with the motion to vacate is not helpful for our party, for our mission to save the country, because if we don't grow the House majority, keep the House majority, win the Senate, and win back the White House for President Trump, we're going to lose the Republic.
Okay, what Marjorie Greene is doing is unhelpful. Okay, that doesn't seem bold, but for Mike Johnson, that's like him flipping her off. That is the equivalent for a person like Mike Johnson to him calling her quite harsh names, I think. And I think he feels like he can do that now because he is now sheltering under the wing of Donald Trump. Donald Trump said he's doing a good job, so he can insult to the extent that he's capable Marjorie Greene. What is that's not surprising to me. He should feel emboldened. What is surprising to me is that Marjorie Greene does not seem chastised as you would expect that she would. And she's attacking Mike Johnson. Mike Johnson goes to Trump. Trump sides with Mike Johnson, but Greene is not actually backing off. She posted in response to this thing about how Mike Johnson, Rand Paul posted that he was wrong to do blah, 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 blah. And she says, I completely agree. Speaker Johnson is calling my motion to vacate a distraction, not helpful to our party. You saw the video. In reality, a Republican elected speaker who fully funds and supports the Democrats' agenda is destroying our party and will cause us to lose the majority. Those are very strong words. And you would expect that she would back off a little bit after Donald Trump signaled that he wants Mike Johnson in that position. But so far, she's not. And she's not just doing this on Twitter. She went on Steve Bannon's show. Watch this.
They see me up close. They know I mean exactly every single word I say, and I'm not full of shit, just like Mike Johnson is. And I'm actually going to follow through with actions instead of lie to people on television and in press conferences and out on the campaign trail.
And she means it. She believes everything she says, every wackadoodle thing she says about space lasers and eclipses and the end of the world. She fully believes it. But that is her not backing off. And Francesca, I find that to be fascinating. What do you think?
No one has embodied Karenicity more than Marjorie Taylor Greene. She thinks she can complain her way into whatever hell world she wants to live in. It's just incredible. My favorite part about all of this is it feels like Republicans in the House are trying to finger point and blame one another before their imminent loss of the majority in November. In my opinion, they're going to lose a majority. A lot of them are retiring, whatnot. They know they're probably not going to maintain the majority. Marjorie is claiming it's because Mike Johnson's not extreme enough on, I don't know, whatever she's trying to send sentinels to the border or something like this. And when it couldn't be farther from the truth, there are actually a lot of Republicans who aren't on board with the Freedom Caucus, most extreme wing of the Republican Party. I don't applaud them anymore, but they're just not on board. The entire caucus, the entire party cannot get their act together. And case in point, they can't even get rid of the rule that allows one representative to start a motion to vacate the speakership. The thing that took down Kevin McCarthy, they can't actually get rid of that. So now they're just having side quests of side quests of side quests in there, again, under this just sort of circus of not wanting to be in charge and being, again, the party of Karens that just wants to complain.
I am so thrilled. Did you make a reference to X-Men in that?
I think so.
I think so.
I believe
and
I did.
Side quests.
I know. I know.
Lining
who
up
am
for
I?
John today. Anyway, you becoming a nerd. But anyway, I don't disagree with you on the politics. And again, it feels so weird to keep giving Mike Johnson credit because Mike Johnson is, he should be the bad guy. But it's that thing where, like, when they want to like change how you view a villain in a show, they'll just contrast them with someone who's more villainous.
Yes.
And it really works. You put Marjorie Greene next to Mike Johnson and Mike Johnson kind of looks reasonable and he shouldn't. But anyway, and I want to demonstrate that why he shouldn't seem reasonable. Let's move forward to a little bit more of Mike Johnson with this.
What we're going to do is the House Republicans are introducing a bill that will require proof of citizenship to vote. It seems like common sense. I'm sure all of us would agree. We only want U.S. citizens to vote in U.S. elections. But there are some Democrats who don't want to do that.
That is Mike Johnson striking a devil's bargain with almost literally the devil, Donald Trump. He is saying, we're going to stop these people from voting in elections. And he gives that little wink, that little weaselly acknowledgement that he knows that what he's doing is fundamentally dishonest and self-interested. He's doing all of this so Donald Trump will side with him, which has happened. He got what he wanted. And I realized in that video with that little weaselly goblin-y grin of his, who he reminds me of, and I apologize that nobody's going to know this reference, but the patriarch of the weird family from the Burbs. Look up the doctor from the Burbs, and that is Mike Johnson. They seem like similar people. But in any event, what he's doing right there is he's saying, Trump, you give me your support, you shield me from Marjorie and the other wackadoodles, and I will pretend that you're right about all of this big lie stuff. And we'll do this election integrity bill that is totally unneeded. We'll do that. And so he's saying there that they want to stop non-citizens from voting. That is stupid because they already cannot vote. It is 100% illegal at federal and state levels and the vast majority of local elections as well. And to the extent that people might try to do it illegally, it is shockingly rare. However rare you think it is way rarer than that. And we'll give you the statistics, but they are already very much not allowed to vote in United States federal elections. That's under the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act of 1996. And by the way, in terms of how much of it happens in defiance of the law, election officials across 42 jurisdictions looked at over 23 million votes and they estimated 30 incidents of suspected non-citizen voting. That means it's 0.0001%. It's 30 out of 23 million, which is almost exactly 1 million. And so if you're Donald Trump or Mike Johnson right now, you're probably thinking, so you're telling me there's a chance. But it's super rare, Francesca. What do you think?
No, I mean, it is wild and it's sad. I mean, because we have 11 million undocumented people in this country who've been in this country for many, some decades, right? Who absolutely deserve the right to vote in a place where they contribute to, they work, they get their taxes taken out of and they're not able to benefit from those taxes. It's ridiculous. So let's put that aside. You're just like, imagine you are fleeing gang violence in Honduras. And you and your young family, you cross the border, you pay a coyote, you risk your life, you nearly, you know, dehydrate in the desert. Now you're working at a pork processing plant in some godforsaken place run by, you know, some mega corporation. You get up at 4 a.m. Imagine all the work that you would have to do to be like, is it election day? Do I need to vote for deputy county commissioner? I better get to the polling place. Do you know how hard it is to get citizens to vote? You know, all the groups that work their tail off. Our voting rates are like, what do we max out at, like 56% of eligible voters? Something like that, John. You know better than I do, but it's like, yeah, we can't even get American citizens to vote. Give me a break.
The whole thing is ridiculous. And yeah, like to all the people that say in the form that Mike Johnson does, or in the wilder form of like an Elon Musk spreading the replacement theory on Great Replacement on Twitter. So that law that stops them from voting in federal elections, why didn't the Democrats overturn it then? They had a supermajority at one point. They could have done that. Why are they not doing anything like that? They're not even advocating for it. They're not even advocating with some sort of like, you know, like fake reason why it needs to go for some other thing. They're literally not even trying to do that at all, which would seem to be a pretty core part of pursuing the strategy of canceling out good white voters. Anyway, this is what Mike Johnson did. It may benefit him in the short term, but it certainly isn't a good look. Okay, more to come after this. Okay, everybody, we're going to end the first hour with a little bit of ridiculousness, starting with this.
I go to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania to look and to watch. And the statement of Robert E. Lee, who's no longer in favor. Did you ever notice that? No longer in favor. Never fight uphill, me boys. Never fight uphill. They were fighting uphill. He said, wow, that was a big mistake. He lost his great general. And they were fighting. Never fight uphill, me boys. But it was too late.
If you've ever wondered what you might be missing out on by not going to Trump rallies, it's basically that for a while. Occasionally the reference to election interference, maybe mocking someone with a physical disability. And then the weirdest drunk history lesson I've ever seen. Did you ever notice that people have turned against Robert E. Lee? He says, I feel like people have been kind of against him for a while, little while actually. He fought on the wrong side. That's such a weird thing for a former president to focus on. But I want to give you a little bit more. The full history lesson. Watch this.
Our union was saved by the immortal heroes at Gettysburg. Gettysburg, what an unbelievable battle that was. The Battle of Gettysburg, what an unbelievable. I mean, it was so much and so interesting and so vicious and horrible and so beautiful in so many different ways. It represented such a big portion of the success of this country. Gettysburg, wow.
Gettysburg, wow. It was horrible, check, yes. It was beautiful? What are you talking about? I honestly, I know that I'm biased. I know that I have derangement syndrome. I'm trying to figure out what point he's making there about it being beautiful. It was absolutely horrendous. A lot of people died. What are you talking about that it was beautiful? And I don't know, I'm very confused. I feel much the same way. If you play the video again at some point, the people in the background, you'll notice people who go to Trump rallies look very confused and bored with Trump during the rallies.
So bored.
They're just looking around. One guy right next to his head is making very weird faces. I don't know if you can tell, like he's right over there.
That dude just got in a line. That dude was like, a line, people are lining up, I'm there. Is there a sandwich?
Let's go. But what?
No. The one to his left though is just like, I don't know. I thought I was in line for sandwiches. I am at a Trump rally. Please, and then the rest of them are kids who are like, this is so boring. Trump is doing crowd work. Now, for those of people who don't know what crowd work is, it's what a comic does when they're in a new city. He's 2 hours outside of Gettysburg, but he's in Pennsylvania. So he's got to mention Gettysburg. Crazy, right? Anyone there? No, hey, what do you do for a living? Nothing? Cool, neither do I. Like, that's what he's trying to vamp and relate to them based on where he is, and he's just terrible about it. And I love the idea that now it wasn't about states' rights. No, the Civil War was about uphill, downhill, John. And the thing is that, you know, most, I think history progressed to say you always fight downhill. Mm-hmm. And Robert E. Lee just really wanted to keep on being able to uphill.
It's like the butter battle book, you know? They butter their bread on the wrong side, the downhill side, so we have to attack. Anyway, yeah, that was wild. I think it was that he doesn't know what Gettysburg is. And so he was saying that it's horrid and bad and terrible. And then he started to think, wait, am I supposed to like it? Let me throw a beautiful in there just to cover my bases. I feel like that's what actually happened. But anyway, that's weird. I want to go to something even weirder. Take a look at this.
She is our big problem.
Genocide Joe! Genocide Joe!
They're not wrong. They're not wrong. He's done everything wrong.
That is fascinating.
Why?
That is a MAGA crowd wearing the red hat chanting Genocide Joe as Donald Trump, who says and just said last week in an interview that Joe Biden is 100% in the tank for the Palestinians. I don't know where you get that from. So Trump has been ceaselessly supportive of everything that's being done by the IDF. We can post the tweets, and he's got stuff on Truth Social about how the skill and determination of the IDF, and these are ruthless terrorists they're killing. And Trump told their military to finish the problem, which is just deeply disturbing on a very deep level when you're talking about a conflict that has resulted. It's almost like what?
Well, like a final solution.
That's what it sounds problem. Like.
Yeah,
that's what it sounds much. Like. So he's very clear that he does not care how many Palestinians die. And then the MAGA crowd is seemingly angry at Joe Biden for not checking Israel in killing the Gazans. Is this a thing? Is this like a total doublespeak thing? Like a double think where they want him to be thought of as Genocide Joe, because they think that will hurt him amongst Democrats in the election, even though at the same time they don't care about the Palestinians are dying? Or are they better than we thought and they do actually care about the civilian deaths? What do you think?
I think that's a really interesting question. I think the answer is, I was going to say, like, on face value, there's young people in the crowd, you know, the ongoing assault on Gaza, I would call it a genocide, is incredibly unpopular. 57% of Biden voters say it is a genocide. A lot of millennials, I don't know all the stats, are like, just like, they also agree. So initially I was like, maybe they are just like against this and are stupid enough to be like, Trump would be better. But I think actually, as you point out the first response, I think that might be more where it's at. Look, they'll use any excuse to hit Trump, to hit Biden. And if it has to be from the left, so be it. And actually the MAGA movement, Steve Bannon and the like, have been really good at doing that exact thing. What they used against Hillary Clinton in 2016 were basically lines that Bernie Sanders had left on the table when he exited the race, which was, you know, part of the establishment, you know, the swamp, all this and that. Like all of that, that was, you know, Bernie Sanders, the establishment, all that was Bernie Sanders. So, and Bannon has recently, I believe, said we should play up the fact that Biden is burning more fossil fuels than any other president has, because the left hates that and the left is pissed at that. And it is good for us. In other words, tell one set of voters one thing and tell another set of voters another thing, like Biden doesn't burn fossil fuels and hates the fossil fuel industry and hates gas and coal and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, it's probably good politics. It's, you know, I think on a deep level, utterly hypocritical. And I think it's hard to imagine how a democracy functions if enough people start doing this. But I do get it. And you do always have to be on the lookout for them to try to, you know, falsely exploit those divisions. Like, it would be one thing to just point it out, but when they want more to be burned, then that seems a little bit dishonest. Right. Let alone the fact that Donald Trump, like, sit him down and really grill him about what he thinks about Gaza and the Palestinians and what he would do, what Donald Trump would do. So I don't know for any of those individuals if any of them are being honest or if this is just a political thing. I don't know, but it's a weird development, I'll say that. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have to say anything in the first hour because we're way over. But there is more to come in the aftermath. So if you are watching live, definitely stay tuned. More to come after this.